You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agatette. Last week, Jim sat down with award-winning author Dr. Rita Woods, who will be at Storyfort this week. Let's take a listen.
Dr. Rita Woods won the Hurston Wright Legacy Award for her debut fiction last year. It was for her novel, Remembrance. NPR called the book, quote, a complex story of loss and survival told across 200 years by four women united by the color of their skin and the supernatural powers they command, unquote. Dr. Woods is a family physician engaged with her local library, like cats, and is coming to Storyfort in downtown Boise this year. Dr. Woods, welcome to Idaho Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'd like to start by talking about your first novel, because NPR, as I mentioned, called it an epic historical fantasy. What got you started writing this book?
So, you know, I've always liked to write, always loved to write. That's what I wanted to do when I grew up, but my parents insisted I get a real job. There's always stories percolating in your head, thoughts, processes of what you want to write down. And I had this original idea of a girl who wanted to inherit the family business. And the family business in this case was a stop on the Underground Railroad. So that was sort of the genesis of the story. And it just kind of went left from there.
So can you break down the plot of Remembrance?
So the plot is that there is a woman, and you follow her story sort of from the beginnings, because you know a lot about her origin story, but she was enslaved in Haiti at the dawn of the Haitian Revolution, came with her mistress to New Orleans, and then left there and came to Ohio, where after she had learned to tap into her powers, which were enhanced by voodoo. And she has the ability to create parallel realities or timelines. Mm. And in hers, she creates a stop on the Underground Railroad. And it's pretty much invisible to the outside world unless she wants it to be. She's getting older. So she's close to 100 years old at this point when the story opens in. She needs to pass this down to an heir. And she has adopted this girl named Winter, who also has powers. They're different from hers, but she's just as powerful. But Winter is a little feral and not particularly interested in inheriting the family business. And so that's pretty much the story of this woman who has this created this parallel world.
And you mix a lot of elements in this book, from slavery to magic, as you mentioned, to the Underground Railroad. So how much research did you have to do for Remembrance?
A ton. And I have to say that's like my favorite part. I would rather research than write any day. So if you ever have any interest in knowing about how to get turpentine out of a pine tree, you can ask me. It has nothing.
You know how to do it.
I know how to do that. Right. So I had to do a lot of research, and some of it, the thing about research is, particularly when you're doing historical writing, is at least in my case, is you think you know a lot about a subject, which is why you come to it and why it fascinates you in the first place. And it is only after you start drilling down that you realize, wow, there's a whole lot of this I did not realize. So I had what I thought was a reasonable idea about the history of Haiti and its slavery movement and its the revolution to freedom. But I did not realize anything about sort of the relationship that New Orleans played in that and sort of the kind of the media spin on voodoo that took place sort of during Jefferson's time. And so it was just fascinating. And that actually informs the story, because you find pieces of information, you think, I've just got to put this in here. But it also informs your characters, because you realize, okay, this is why this person would be this way. And this is how the trajectory of their life took place.
So how long did it take you then to write this book?
It probably took a couple of years. And as you probably know, the the whole publishing industry is a strange creature. So the book that I actually sold bore kind of a family resemblance to the book that actually got published, but it changed quite a bit. So there's characters in it that weren't there, and it probably took another 9 months of editing even after the book sold. And I know that, and there was a couple of false starts because originally Winter was going to be the main character. I realized about 50 pages in that I could not stand her. I wanted to kill her off, but I thought maybe that's a little too dramatic. So it took a little bit of rewriting to figure out, well, okay, if I want to kill off my main character on page 25, I probably should rethink this whole thing. So,
right.
You know.
So if you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest to you. We're talking with Dr. Rita Woods. She's the author of the book Remembrance, and she's coming to Treefort's Story for it this year. So Dr. Woods, you actually have a new book coming out later this year. The title is The Last Dreamwalker. So what's this book about?
So this book is a little bit different. There's a slave narrative, and it's a dual timeline, but it's contemporary. Okay. And it's about a woman named Layla who's had a very fraught relationship. She's young, she's in her 20s, who has a very fraught relationship with her mother. Can never really understand why. She has what she thinks is some sort of a mental condition, Layla does, and thinks maybe that's why she and her mother don't get along. It's not until her mother dies that she decides she wants to reconnect with her mother's side of the family from who her mother has been estranged. Mm-hmm. Her mother is of the Gullah Geechee Nation, and so Layla travels to South Carolina to reconnect with her aunts, her mother's sisters, and realizes that all this time that what she had thought was some sort of strange medical condition was actually the power to walk in dreams and to manipulate people and their reality in those dreams. And this has been passed down through generations of Gullah Geechee women for hundreds of years. And she finds herself, in addition to trying to resolve these secrets that she's beginning to uncover about her mother, finds herself caught up in a feud with a family member that is fought inside of dreams.
So I've noticed a pattern in your books, and that is that you feature very strong and powerful women. How important was that to you, or was it just something that organically happened?
I think it's more organic. I'm not smart enough really to go into story telling with these big themes in mind. I wish I was. You know, I sometimes I sit in interviews and people say, well, have you noticed this theme? I'm like, yes, that's
like, really?
Exactly where I was going with that. You're like, oh, wow.
I'm glad you
really?
Noticed.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I was trying to do. It really starts more with time period and senses of history that I think people would be interested in because I'm fascinated and I think people don't really know about. Like in Remembrance, it was more the sense of the Haitian Revolution and how that impacted the United States. And in The Last Dreamwalker, it was more fascination with the whole history of the Gullah Geechee that sort of started me down that path. And then it just sort of organically starts to take on shape of who would be best to tell a story set in that time and space, and what would that look like? And I guess I'm just drawn to very strong women.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about what's next for you then.
So I'm right now, I'm kind of looking into the story of Ashin Sweet in Detroit. I'm from Detroit. And so I wanted to tell a Detroit story. And so Detroit has a really interesting history. Most people think of it as this very troubled Rust Belt city. But at one point in the 1920s, early part of the 20th century, it was actually known as the Paris of the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. I mean, if it was, you know how you have New York Week now with fashion, the Met? That was actually done in Detroit before. So it was like you would show fashion in Paris, and then if it was, if you really wanted to be anybody, you would show it in Detroit. It was wealthy. All kinds of stars came and beautiful Art Deco buildings that still exist, the Ambassador Bridge. It was sort of the gleaming light of the United States at the time. And for many, many years, the third and fourth largest city in the nation. And it has these wonderful stories there about Paradise Valley and Black Bottom and Indian Village. And so I wanted to set my next story there and talk about some of the stories there and bring that to life.
So can we talk a little bit about Treefort and Storyfort in particular, because that's what you'll be doing this week. What mm-hmm. are you planning on talking about while you're in Boise?
So we wanted to talk about how people, you know, sort of what you alluded to is how do you land on times in history? One of the things we kind of mentioned, and I say we because there's three of us that are Samantha Rajajam and Carrie Callahan, we'll be talking about what it is about certain times in history that draw our attention and just really grab us and enchant us and make us want to tell these stories and how you approach those, you know, and what's the difference between, say, historical fiction based versus just sort of telling the history of something and what are the strengths and values, strengths and weaknesses of each. So we'll be talking about that and talking about different eras because we all write in very different eras.
Well, I am looking forward to this. I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking with us today. We've been speaking with Dr. Rita Woods, author of the book Remembrance. She's coming to Treefort Storyfort this year. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jemma Gaudette speaking to Dr. Rita Woods last week. She's coming to Treefort Storyfort this week. Check out their schedule for more information. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jemma Gaudette, and you're listening to Idaho Matters. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Matters is made possible by Idaho National Laboratory, St. Luke's, and Boise State University.